Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the Associate Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court, Ray Hagan.
Thanks. And today's guest, Jim Hardesty, will be talking about ballot questions and mortgage modifications.
It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Have you followed Rory Reed's campaign?
I'm angry.
Besides being angry, Rory Reed's been dishonest. He's lied about Brian Sandoval, and he changed positions on taxes again. First, Rory wanted to raise taxes. Then he said he'd wait for the legislature to tell him what to do. Then he said, no new taxes. And now, Rory admits he would raise taxes after all.
I'm angry.
Rory, so are we.
Is your child happy in school? There is another way. Bluefield Prep is a values-driven college preparatory school for grades 3 through 12 that offers affordable instruction completely online and puts the power to direct your child's education back in your hands. Whether your child needs to be more challenged or your child needs more time than a traditional classroom allows, Bluefield Prep has a solution to fit. Call today to receive the free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education. Join thousands of other families who are taking control of their child's education by discovering online education. Bluefield Prep offers a fully accredited academic program overseen by a team of qualified, caring instructors. Bluefield Prep even offers an early college option that can save thousands in college tuition. So call the number below today for your free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education, with no obligation, or go online to bluefieldprep.com. Every child deserves to be happy in school, so don't wait. Call Bluefield Prep now. You'll be glad.
Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Harry Reid knows Nevada needs jobs. He's powering a new clean energy industry. 300 jobs at a new solar field. 1,000 jobs building wind turbines. 25 new geothermal projects. But while Harry Reid is fighting for jobs, Sharon Angle supports tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas, outsourcing to China and India.
I'm not in the business of creating jobs.
At least, not here in Nevada. Sharon Angle, a foreign worker's best friend.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome to the program James Hardesty. He's the Associate Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Jim, I wanted to start off with some ballot questions. On ballot question one, would end Nevada's system of electing judges and replace it with a system where judges would first be appointed by the governor after a review of judicial committee, and then they would be up for a re-election by the people. How would this, Jim, improve justice in Nevada?
By bringing higher quality of lawyers to the bench. Not that there aren't good lawyers on the bench now, but I think it would improve bringing higher quality and attracting higher quality lawyers to that service of the law. I think it would improve accountability. Let me use my own race as an example. Thankfully, I am unopposed this year. But as I told my wife on January 15th at about 10 minutes after 5, when I learned that I was unopposed, you know, Sandy, even if you're mad at me on election day, I'll still be reelected. Because under the current system, I only need my own vote to be reelected. 65 to 70% of the judges in the state have been reelected unopposed. And I think that it improves the accountability considerably. If I were running this year under the retention system, I'd need 55% of the voters of this state to return me to office. And I think there's another feature that I particularly like, and that it is that it institutionalizes a judicial evaluation commission, a commission that isn't just a popularity contest among lawyers about who's the best judge, but rather is a 360 evaluation of the judge. Are they getting their work done on time? Are they attending to business? Those beyond lawyers that are participating in the evaluation include staff, other judges, and it is a report that is published before the retention election on each judge who seeks to be retained.
Well, let me throw this out there. Tom Mitchell, the editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, put out an editorial where he talked about that the idea of this evaluation committee is great, but why can't the evaluation committee give us, the public, that information so that we can make still vote on that?
They would.
No, but I mean, to not have this idea of retentions, but have the evaluation committee just period.
Oh, well, let me say this, Sam.
Because it's a great idea.
Well, whether ballot question one passes or not, the Supreme Court has advocated an evaluation commission. Going back ever since I've been on the Supreme Court, I've urged that we do this. And I hope that we will still do it. But you have to institutionalize this in some way, and maybe the legislature will pass such a commission. But it is implemented in this ballot question because it's embedded in it as part of the process. But I absolutely agree that there should be a more formalized evaluation system than, and I don't mean to besmirch or denigrate the existing evaluation systems. They're helpful. The one done in Washoe County is extraordinarily broad, but again, it's limited to attorney respondents. There are many, many other people who come in contact with judges in the judicial system beyond attorneys.
And your phone rings off the hook the couple of days before the election with your friends who say, I don't know who to vote for in these judges' races.
Sam, this is the point. I've spoken to probably 75 groups in this state since last fall about ballot question one and ballot question two. And I've begun almost every speech with the same question, and I pose it to your viewers today. Do you feel sufficiently informed about the candidates for judge when you go into the ballot box to pull the trigger? And if the answer to that question is no, then I commend to you the consideration of ballot question one. Last year as Chief Justice, I served as the chair of the Judicial Selection Commission, which includes partially lawyers and partially lay people, non-lawyers. I was struck by how serious the non-lawyers take their responsibilities and duties in investigating the background of judges. But here's the thing that is strikingly different. If you're running for office in a contested race and you go to a candidate's night function, no one asks you, Judge, do you have a drug addiction problem? Do you have a mental health problem? Have you filed your tax returns in the last 6 years? The Judicial Selection Commission not only poses those questions, we get waivers from the candidate or the applicant so we can investigate the truth of those allegations. We require you to supply us with the copies of your tax returns. We investigate whether you have any criminal background issues. We investigate your mental health issues, and we also make determinations about your credit standing. And we interview you in public. And I found from that process a much thorough vetting of the candidates for judge than the election process.
Okay, let's take a break. Always Justice Hardesty when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
Harry Reid voted to give special tax breaks to illegal aliens. And Harry Reid voted to give Social Security benefits to illegals, even for the time they were here illegally. And now Harry Reid is fighting for a program that would give preferred college tuition rates to none other than illegal aliens, using your money to pay for it. Leading to a simple question. What does Harry Reid have against you?
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Senior homeowners have been feeling anxious about money lately. The good news is that you can do something about it now with Home Equity Relief. Stop the worry and stay in your home. Find out how much money you can receive every month with a reverse mortgage.
I'm just one of 500,000 seniors that sleeps better at night.
It's true. A government-backed reverse mortgage stops the concern about money and keeps you self-reliant.
After Phil died, my Home Equity Release covered missing Social Security payments and kept me safely in our house. Maybe you should re-examine this government-insured program, too.
Be smart enough to look for yourself. Receive our new information kit when you qualify. Only Comfortable Retirement offers Home Equity Release, the new reverse mortgage program designed for active seniors.
Lock in the cash value of your biggest asset and maintain your independence.
After all your hard work, you're entitled to a comfortable retirement and never having a mortgage payment again.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jim Hardesty, the Associate Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court. Let's talk about, and we've talked about it on this program before, the absolute need that you believe for us to have an appellate court. And it looks like the state is feeling the same way.
Well, I hope so. I would summarize this ballot question with one observation. Do you want the justices on the highest court in the state working on appeals of driver's license revocation cases? Because that's essentially what's included in our caseload. Or would you rather work us have us working on the more serious death penalty cases, other serious criminal cases, some of the very serious election questions, some of the interpretation of constitutional law questions that we deal with? I can't tell the voters enough about how important this proposition is. But I want to also tell them this. As a justice, frankly, as a taxpayer and a voter, I was concerned about what this would cost and how it would be implemented. And on March 7, 2007, we delivered a plan to the legislature that does this. We propose a court of appeals that has no facility costs to the voters whatsoever by locating the court in the Regional Justice Center in Clark County, where 70% of the cases will come from for the court of appeals docket. The Supreme Court, over the past 2.5 or 3 years, has been returning to the state between $2 million and $2.5 million a year. And that doesn't get much press, but we have done that. And we did it even before requests were being made to cut our budgets. We did it in part to demonstrate that we didn't necessarily need all those funds, and we found more efficient ways to operate the court. But we also did it because we wanted to demonstrate to the people and to the legislature that the cost of the court, the operating costs of $1,661,000, could be paid for out of our budget if we are funded at a level of 2007 budget levels. We finally would expect much more efficiency in the operation of justice. And most importantly, I think, to the lawyers and to the legal community, and frankly, to the community as a whole. we'd be able to publish more opinions. It is so frustrating to me to see issue after issue after issue of major importance to this state, and we are unable to get to those or get to them as quickly as we would like to, because we're dealing with driver's license revocation cases, inmates who are concerned about spoons and where they live, and certainly they're entitled to their appeals, and I don't mean to denigrate those or diminish their value to the litigant, but as a whole, to the whole state or for precedence, they have no value, and we should be working on the cases that
How many cases a year are coming through the Supreme Court at this point?
Well, here's the concern. We have set record numbers of filings every year since Justice Perry-Gary and I were elected in 2004. We're over 2,200. And Sam, I have this graph, but let me just make this contrast. The number one populated state in the country, California, if you take all of their appeals, divide it by all of their appellate judges, they get 232 cases filed per judge per year. In Arizona, the number 14th populated state, they get 173. Utah gets 119. Nevada, we're at 315. And I tell you that that workload, I'm not complaining, I signed up for this job and I love it very much, by the way. But the fact of the matter is, it delays the time we take or can take to get cases resolved. And this is really, truly a case where justice delayed is justice denied. And the Court of Appeals would create enormous efficiencies in being able to speed up appeals in the Supreme Court.
Okay, I'm going to hold you over for another segment here because I want to talk about this whole home mortgage mitigation system. And so let's take a break. More with Justice Hardesty when we come back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, oh, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
I work with kids who've been abused and their stories break my heart. But when the Assembly created a program to weed out sex offenders by helping youth and church groups do background checks on volunteers, it passed, with only two members voting no. Sharon Engel was one of them. She said background checks were an invasion of privacy. Sharon Engel voted to protect the privacy of sex offenders instead of the safety of our kids.
Sharon Engel. Ideas so extreme, they're dangerous.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
On the next Face-to-Face, gubernatorial hopefuls Brian Sandoval and Rory Reid square off Thursday. We'll tell you who hit and who missed. Join me and the Las Vegas Sun's political reporters for the definitive word on the Reid-Sandoval debate. It's in the next Face-to-Face, 7 p.m.
Walk-in Wednesday. This Wednesday and every Wednesday. No appointment necessary. Just come in. Loud and loud. Real answers right now.
I think someone at my friend's school has this thing called autism. My friend's brother's son has autism. My neighbor's son has autism. My son has autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Watch News 4 at 6 p.m. Monday through Friday for your chance to qualify for a trip to the Rose Bowl.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with James Hardesty, Associate Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court. The legislature dumped the modification of home mortgages on your doorstep at the Supreme Court. And my first question is, why aren't the district court judges modifying home mortgages as the statute empowers them to do?
That assumes they aren't. I haven't seen any of their orders yet. We do have some appeals that have recently come to us, and the court will be deciding those. But I would challenge your premise.
Okay.
There is the district court has a range of powers under the statute to impose sanctions against parties who do not participate. That range of sanctions can include modifications of the home loan. Whether or if such cases have occurred, I don't know. But we'll be reviewing some.
Well, what I'm hearing is that judges are universally refusing to do the modifications because they believe them to be unconstitutional.
Don't know. We'll see. I haven't heard an appeal of that yet. And I certainly don't want to comment about something like that, which could be the subject of an appeal. But let me just say this, Sam. If a property owner believes that a district court judge has committed an error under the statute or has entered a ruling which isn't consistent with the expectations or requirements of the statute, they appeal that decision to the Nevada Supreme Court. And I would expect we will see such an appeal. I have to say that, quite frankly, I've been somewhat disappointed in the fact that we don't have more appeals yet. As you know, the Supreme Court established rules governing this program on a very fast-track system.
Right.
Very fast-track system. And yet, here we are a year and 3 or 4 months into the program, and the Supreme Court has had but one appeal that didn't have anything to do with sanctions so far. So if there are property owners or if there are lawyers representing property owners who are dissatisfied with the results that have occurred in the district court or believe that a district court judge has made an error in a ruling, then appeal it.
Well, I think
but this gets back, I might add, to one of the concerns we talked about in the prior segment, which has to do with the Court of Appeals. Perhaps people haven't pursued their appeals because they're concerned about the length of time that it takes to address these questions.
Well, one of the things that that I'm hearing is that when it's a consent between both parties, things are going fine. It's when there's no consent, why aren't the judges modifying, for example, interest rates changing the principal amounts? They're working on the arrears, recapitalizing those.
Our administrator informs us that there are there are approximately 220 petitions for judicial review that have been filed in the district courts. Now, unless you have statistics that show what has occurred in each one of those cases, I don't think that it's appropriate in your question to assume that the outcomes in all of them have been the same. That's not true. And I do not have the statistics for those outcomes because it's inappropriate for me under the Judicial Code to investigate those. I'll wait to see what the appeals show. But I will say this. If someone believes that a district court judge has committed error in applying the statute, appeal it to the district court or appeal it to the Supreme Court, and we'll evaluate and decide the case. And we're waiting for those cases.
And I guess the question that some of the judges have is the U.S. contract clause in the Constitution. That's where that question of constitutionality comes out.
Well, because this is a case that could be a subject of controversy, I guess we'll get it and decide it. But I can't say, as you know, under the rules of the Judicial Code, how I would decide that question.
No,
neither can the court. But I certainly welcome the opportunity to address that issue if it comes in front of the court.
Okay, Jim, we're talking maybe two different things here. One thing, we're talking about implementing an appellate court in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
But because your workload is too much, really. But now you're having to appeal. You're going to have to judge these foreclosure mediations also? Would those go to the appellate court if the appellate court was instituted?
Well, this is the beauty of the appellate court. Whether it's a foreclosure mediation appeal or whether it's an appeal of a driver's license revocation or whether it's an appeal of a serious civil case or a criminal case, the Supreme Court would be in a position to determine whether the issue involved in the case is one that is going to create law that affects all of our state and all of our citizens, or whether the case affects only the parties to that particular dispute. And for the most part, cases that would affect only the parties to that dispute and lead to no precedent would be decided by the Court of Appeals. Cases that would affect all of the state and create precedent that would provide guidance to district court judges and to parties in foreclosure mediation disputes or to the rest of the legal community on some other legal matter, such as equitable subrogation in real property transactions, would be decided by the Supreme Court. And therein lies the efficiency that I believe exists in establishing a court of appeals. Some appeals, to answer your question, Ray, coming out of the foreclosure mediation, may not create any precedent at all. There may be simply a dispute between homeowner A and lender B about whether the lender or the homeowner violated or didn't violate a settlement agreement reached in a mediation. That doesn't create any precedent for the rest of the state or the program itself. But if a district court judge has made a ruling that says, I'm not going to modify the loan because I think the U.S. Constitution contract clause somehow applies, that's a major legal question that should be decided by the Supreme Court.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program,
sir. Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
I believe in Social Security.
I believe all workers deserve a livable wage.
I believe in protecting the environment.
I believe in Medicare.
And I believe in Medicare.
I believe every child deserves a quality education.
I believe in equal rights for everyone.
I believe in America.
We're Democrats.
That's what we stand for.
That's what we fight for.
Come join us.
This message was paid for by the Democratic Party of Washoe County.
There's nothing like having the convenience of finding everything you need in one location. The Factory Stores at the Y is the perfect shopping experience. Casual classic sportswear for the summer. Stylish designs for men and women for any occasion from Izod. Cool off this summer with shoes and sandals for the whole family. Fast shoes for shoes that fit your summer lifestyle. Find it all right here at the Factory Stores at the Y, Highway 50 and 89 in South Lake Tahoe.
What is the new Sonic good? It's our new Sonic Loaded Burgers with a bigger, better 100% pure beef patty that's loaded with tons of intense flavor. Try the Western Chili Loaded Burger with warm chili, bacon, and a handmade onion ring. Or the Spicy Southwest Loaded Burger with crispy jalapeno strips, pepper jack cheese, and Southwest Chipotle sauce. It's not just a burger. It's one that's so uniquely bold, it's like we knew what you were craving. It's new. It's better. It's the new Sonic good.
News 4's Fact Finder team, going the extra step to get the facts.
If the city's broke, why is it giving out money right now?
When accuracy matters, turn to News 4, Nevada's Fact Finders.
Thanks for watching. On next week's show, we'll have some student lobbyists from the University of Nevada, Tom Mitchell, the editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Pat Mulroy, and kingmaker Sid Rogich.
We'll see you then.